believe in the God who believes in you. How about that? We'll put that up there. That's it. Let's go home. That's an N and a U. Whenever we're looking at the scripture today, it's God the Father. And last week we spoke about the Trinity. Today is God the Father, then God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we think of God, we have to go to the scriptures. We have to go to the scriptures to define God, to find out who he says he is, okay? And am I reverberating or too loud or something? Sounds loud to me. Is it too loud? Is it all right? Okay. Maybe it's just because I cleaned my ears out or something. But So anyhow, we have to go to the scriptures to find out who God is, okay? And whenever we have to go to the scriptures to understand God and to know who God is and what God's plans are. And whenever we look at the Bible and you start, in the beginning was God, okay? Now, it sounds like a very insignificant statement. In the beginning was God. The scriptures begin by telling us that God always was. There's no, like, it's like, where did God come from? Well, he always was and he always will be. So there is no, like, in the beginning, God is. No, just in the beginning, God created. So God existed before creation. God existed before there is a universe and there were stars and everything. Just God is. Now, whenever we, a little later, talks about pantheism and polytheism and all those things. One, pantheism, if I get them right, poly's many, I believe. And I always get them backwards. Pantheism is identified with the universe, okay? A person who believes in God as a pantheistic God would be an individual who identifies God with the creation, be like the force of Star Wars, okay? The force be with you. Well, who is the force? Well, it's nature, it's the stars, it's the sky, it's the, you know, it's everything, okay? So that's kind of what pantheism is. And polytheism is many gods. You know, everything's a god. The trees, the water, you make a stone, this is a god. We're going to believe that this god is going to provide rain when it's drought or something like that. So we have people who have made up gods because they really don't want to believe in the true God. And it's kind of... If you study the scriptures and you understand where God is coming from, not where he existed, but where God is trying to reveal himself, we see that if we want to hold ourselves as greater than God and that we are the highest form of evolution, then there is no God and there is no accountability and there are no commandments and there are really no rules. The only rules there are is what society puts in place, but I can break any of them that I want because I have the right to. You know, I was listening to an interview with a convict who was on death row for two or three murders, and that he'd also killed two or three people in prison. And he's on death row, and they were interviewing him, and they said to him, "Well, why do you do this?" He said, "They were in my space." They got in my space. Because if I'm God, I have a space over around me. You trespass, you die. So in some ways, we all have our space, our comfort zone, and that we all have a place where we feel, you know, comfortable, uncomfortable. You get in an elevator, where do you go? You know, well, I want to go to the back, but there's already people there, so I better stay as far forward as I can. What if the door closes on me? I mean, it's really in my space, but it's better to be close to the door than in back on there in my space, you know. And then you get a full elevator, you know. That's because we're Americans. If we lived in China, in, you know, Beijing or in Tokyo or in one of those cities, did you know they rent out places, like we rent motels. In Japan, they rent out like cots, that the cots are in like a 2-3 foot by 3 foot square, and there's a cot in there, and you rent that out by the hour to go in there and sleep. That's it. That's your motel. If you want to stay the night, you go into one of their little cubes, and you can stay there till they ring the bell and you get out, and they remake it, throw somebody else in there, you know, and you pay very dearly for that because there's no, you know, they don't have enough room for motel space like we look at it. So, to learn about God, we must turn to the pages of the Scripture, and the God in the God of the Scriptures, the God who reveals Himself to us. Now, God doesn't explain His existence. He just says, "In the beginning is God." And I go back to whenever Moses says, "Okay, God, who shall I say has sent me?" You know, the burning bush experience, and God says, "I am that I am." And I know I've said it before, but I always thought that was a really lame name. You know, like, okay, I am that I am what? Well, if you understand the Scriptures, you begin to understand that I am is I am what you need. So the word He is El Shaddai, you know, He is the name of God is El, which means strength and might. So when God says, "I am the God of your peace," is that what El Shaddai is? I forget. I'm sorry. Elohim, plural form, represents the Trinity. The name of God gives Himself is that I am the I am. This name speaks of faithfulness and unchangeableness. So whenever we see I am that I am, it's faithful and unchangeable. You can read that. Faithful and unchangeable. So I am that I am is God is saying, I am faithful, I am unchangeable. I am the eternal, I am the Word, I am your peace, I am your provider. You know, I am whatever you need. So I am, I am your strength and your provider. So whenever we start going through the names of God in the Scripture, they are names that speak to us of how God revealed Himself at that moment. So God is always in the revelation revealing to us the I am that I am. So I am your forgiveness. I am your eternal life. I am your provider. You know, when we say all things work together for good, I am the one who causes all things to work together for good. See, I am your peace. So when the peace that passes all understanding is the peace that comes to us in trouble, and that in that trouble we are not afraid because I am that I am is with me. See, so questions. If we can grasp what the names of God are, and how that God is the revealer of Himself, that it is our understanding. See, we are, okay, we're here in Sunday school, all right. We're going through this Sunday school lesson, we go through church. What we are doing is we are putting the Word in our life. Well, I don't need that today, but you see, God gives to us what we will need for our future. So that whenever I am providing, it's like storing up, you know, used to can vegetables and canned things and all that stuff. What are you doing? You're storing up for the winter. You're taking the bounty of the moment and putting it in a cellar, canning, freezer, whatever, for winter. Well, this is what we're doing whenever we are a lot, and we're hearing and learning the Word of God. We are learning this so that it takes place inside of our life, so that when we come to the point of needing, or we can draw upon it. Because thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin, that I might not miss the mark. For who and what I am to be. You see, I've been really not struggling. Is this thing noisy? Can you hear it? I can hear it just banging around here. It's creaky, yeah. It's a creaky thing. Oh, I just won't move so much. I am that I am, you know. That's it. Yeah, put a roll. Yeah. So, where was I before I was creaking? So, we find in the Bible that God is a personal being, okay? God is a personal being. So, God is not removed. He is not the force of nature that, like, we look around, the pantheism, the polytheism, many gods and nature. Well, God is always with me. Why? Because he's in the trees, he's in the ground, he's in the grass, he's in the start. No. Those are his creation, but that is not him. They reveal a creator, but they are not the creator. The creator is God. God spoke the world into existence. Now, that if we look at how are for ourselves, God has created you and I. He knew while we were yet in our mother's womb, he knew who your mother would be. He knew who your ancestors would be. He knew all of this that goes into your life and makes you you so that he can use you in the place where you are to become his servant. So his servant, you are here not by chance, but by choice. Now we can, of course, abandon and walk away from God if we like. But the idea is that we need to see how safe and secure we are in the person that God has created us to be. My sermon title today is Lose the Accuser. Lose the Accuser. See, the accuser, the devil, his desire is to get us off course. And the way that, or keep us from getting all that God has for, having all that God has for us. So the accuser will make accusations. Not good enough. You failed. Do you know who you're past? You know what? You're in the past, and you're not that. You're too big. You're too short. You're too heavy. You're too thin. You know, you live in the wrong place. You drive the wrong car. You, whatever it takes to accuse and get us off course. Now, the I am that I am is saying that we are secure and we are stable in our relationship. And that in that stability of our relationship, we get the accuser out, not by fighting the accuser, but by applying the word. We apply the word of God to our heart. That's our resisting of the devil. So we resist him is an active, it is a very active action. We resist not by turning around and fighting with him. You know, I am good enough. Yes, I am. I did this. You know, going back and forth like that, like you're in an argument that you can win. No, we don't argue with the devil. We bring the word in. And bring the word in its proper context. See, even Jesus, and I'm preaching my sermon, but Jesus was confronted with the word. But Jesus knew what the intention of the word was, and the devil was turning it around to mean something that it didn't. So when we have the I am that I am in our life, we can discern, we can know that's not the intent of the scripture. Because the spirit that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that the truth of God's word to what it is in our life. So that's why we are here. That's why we sing, we listen, we read the scriptures, we pray. It's so that we can have that word in our life in a way that is our shield of faith, our buckler, our the one that holds everything together, that the sword of the Spirit that we can attack life. You see, that our destiny's in front of us. Our future's in front of us. And if we can get tangled up trying to figure out the past, we just lose. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus shall the high and holy one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy places with him. Also, that is of, also, let's miss some things here. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him, so I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So God is in a high and lofty and holy place, and I dwell there. I dwell there. You know, well, I don't live in no high and holy place. I live in Wimber. I live here, you know. I live in Davidsville. But you see, I live in the presence of God. His presence is in me. I cannot escape that. He is always with me. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So, before, I like the one translation. It says, before the beginning began, God was. You know, before the beginning began, God was. I know, maybe I've done this before, but here we have creation, okay? And eternity past, God, see, time did not start until there was creation, okay? And at the end of time, there is eternity future. Time will be no more. Time will be no more. So we say, well, what are we going to do in eternity, you know, for eternity? You know, I get bored just trying to sit down in the evening. You know, he was an older gentleman. I remember this was years ago. He said, well, I'm going to lay down by the river of life. I'm going to kick that tree, and when the apples and the fruit fall off, I'm going to eat it. That's what I'm going to do for eternity. I said, okay, that sounds wonderful to me. You know, I just didn't quite get it, but okay, that's all right by you. But this is time. You know, this is time, and that's where we're at. And when we die, we are, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to redeem the time. Buy back the time. You know, Jesus purchased our salvation on the cross. His blood was shed that we might be free from our sin, that we might be redeemed from the sin that is enslaving us. So if we are redeemed, that means we're purchased back. The blood has been shed. We belong to God. So now we are learning the I am that I am is my Father. Luke, I'm your father. God was God. That's just funny. But God is saying to us, I am your father. I am your provider. I am the one who gives you the strength, the wisdom, the understanding. I am the one who does all of this. You know, you think about small things, little things. I was preparing communion, okay? Oh, a few years ago, we got a batch of communion cups. They had holes in the bottom. And I fill them up, you know. And I'm going around, and I come back around, and it's not there. I'm like, what happened, you know? So I fill it up again. I watch it. It goes down. So every string of containers had about three or four that had holes in. Okay, so every time you fill up the communion cups, you always watch for the cracked ones. There's a few crack pots. Okay, so crack cups. So anyhow, today I'm trying to open the whole thing, and I hear this. I go, oh no, I crushed a few. So I go and pull out the ones that are crushed and throw them in the garbage. Then I'm around doing all this stuff, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it'd be nice to know. And I'm filling them up, you know, and I'm always very, very careful not to spill it and get it splattered all over. And when do you know it? This is, I'm saying, I'm not going to do that. I squirt, and it misses the cup and goes there. And I have to take my little napkin, pull the other cup out. And then, oh, this one has a crack in it. So how would I have found that? You would have picked it up and go, there's none in here. What'd you do? It's a miracle. That's it. But you see how God, in my whatever, I don't want anyone to pick up an empty cup. So how do I become aware of an empty cup? By making a mistake. And then I see something that I wouldn't have seen had I not made that little mistake right at that very cup. Sounds like a trivial thing. But how many trivial things like that happen in our lives? And some of them we don't even know that God has protected us from, or was watching over us to give us insight to go or to do or not to go or do. So you see, God is at work. The I am that I am is faith, and he is unchangeable. God is faithful and he's unchangeable. So as, and the reason we study the scriptures, you know, with the Old Testament and the patriarchs and all that, we're seeing how God, the I am that I am, was faithful to those individuals. And he was faithful and unchangeable. So yes, he is faithful to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, going into the fiery furnace. As he is faithful to Moses, he, you know, goes out in the back, you know, kills the Egyptian and runs off and hides for 40 years. He's faithful to Moses to call him back to his original intent. He's faithful to Joseph. He's faithful to Daniel. He's, you know, we see how that God worked in their lives. So he is the God who is faithful, and he's unchangeable. So that means the same God who helped Moses is the same God who helped us. The same God who helped Joseph, sold as a slave, betrayed by his brothers, you know, did his best and was thrown in prison, did his best and slept forgotten in prison, is the same God who never forgets us. Yeah. So there is these, see, it is this understanding that helps us grasp when God says to us, I am the I am that I am. See, we all have that burning bush experience. Not every day, but maybe just once in our life. We met with God and everything changed. So you see, everything has changed because we met with God. Well, what about, that's the accuser. What about this? And I intentionally left God. I did this. I did that. It was sinful. It was whatever. Guess what? God doesn't bring that up. He just rings your bell. No. God doesn't bring that up. I don't know why the volume's up. But you see what this was? That was JCPenney letting me know that they have sales today. Very important. Very important. It's just, I'm going to JCPenney's right now. Yeah. But you see, what happens, these people want to remind you of something. God wants to remind us of something. You know, are we on his email? are we on his divine list? I don't even know how I got on that crazy thing. But they send me these things all the time. how many, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many read devotionals? How many read things that have the scriptures? Listen to people who are speakers, you know, on the radio or TV or whatever. You listen to them, and there's just something in there that pops right out at you. That's God saying, this is for you. Pay attention. I don't need it right now. Doesn't matter. Pay attention. Put it in there. You see, because you fill up the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We continue to fill the heart with the word. And allow the word to formulate our thoughts and our words and the direction of our life. And if we allow the word to give us direction, we have a security that cannot be destroyed. So whenever I like the, and I don't know, I probably won't get to all the lessons, but the idea is, remember the story about the guy, the wise man built his house upon a rock, foolish man built his house on the sand. Now, I don't know why, but I always interpreted that, well, one guy builds on the beach and the other guy builds up in the mountains, you know. And, you know, but the idea is they went through the same storm. They went through the same storm. The person on the rock was safe. His house was secure. Person on the sand, his was gone. You see, I am that I am. When we build our life on the I am, We are safe for an eternity. Doesn't matter what storm, doesn't matter how bad, doesn't matter if we live or die, we are God's, and we are safe, and we are there for an eternity, and no matter what storm may come, our life cannot be destroyed. Flat out. But you see, people who build their life on things that are not eternal, principles that are not eternal, they can build a wonderful house, but you're not going to stand. So, anyhow. So in the beginning, God created. So everything begins with God, and God created. Now, verse 2. My help, this is Psalm 12, 1 and 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. So the psalmist now is telling us, your help, my help comes from, well, what we just said here in Genesis 1:1, God created, all right? Now, the psalmist says, my help cometh from the Lord. What did he do? He created the heavens and the earth. So the same God who created Genesis 1:1 is the same God who is speaking through Psalm 121, verse 2. It's the same God. You see, I am that I am. I am the faithful and unchangeable one. The same God who spoke, Moses wrote of in Genesis 1:1 is the same God who's speaking here in 121:2. And then we go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him that, I can't read. Let me take these off. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We're going back to the Creator. Who created this place? God. So my help comes from the Lord. And he's invisible. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We understand God by looking at the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, meaning the people the people who say there is no God are going to be held without excuse, because look around you, you can see what God has made. And you can see the order of things. You can see how that there is gravity. To look at, I'm just amazed that to look at the universe, to look at the many universe that are out there, okay, they're all in balance. The world spins and the earth spins and the planet spins and everything's in a rotation that holds it all in balance. What if they were all in alignment? Just one right after, there would be this big elliptical thing, everything would be out of balance, but the way that it turns, the way that the world exists and the universe exists is in perfect balance and perfect harmony. So we look at our life and think the world is in perfect harmony. What about my life? If God is concerned about the universe to be in harmony, don't you think he's concerned about our life being in harmony? So how then do I bring my life into harmony? Not without conflict, but harmony with God. Harmony does not mean there are no problems and if I am in correct harmony, I'm at peace forevermore. I'm poking fun at somebody. Because think about this. If I align myself mentally, emotionally and physically with the earth and take the energy of the earth and the energy of the earth and the stars comes to me, I am in perfect harmony. Trying to find harmony from the creation rather than from the creator. See, there is power, there is gravity, there is forces of our nature and of the universe. And how many understand the North and South Pole, what is it? It sends out a magnetic thing, and you hold this little thing up, and it'll tell you which way's north. We can't see it, but we have invented things to help prove it, that it's there. And so in our lives, there is this harmony that wants to be in alignment with God, and then there is the accuser who's always trying to disrupt the harmony, and then there are our mistakes where we got off course, and the accuser uses that as ammunition to try to make us feel inferior and unable, and God is saying, I am that I am, the faithful and unchangeable one. I am everything that you need and more. I will never leave you comfortless. I will never leave you without strength for the moment. I will never abandon you. You see, when we allow the text of the word, the person of the word, to speak to our heart, I believe that whenever the word of God comes to our minds and our hearts, whenever we have a difficulty, it isn't that we are recalling it, it is that God is speaking it. Okay? What we don't know, we can't speak. We can't hear. Sometimes God will reveal things to us and it's like, oh yeah. But most of the time, he will take his word and speak it into our hearts and our minds to give us the direction for the moment. The trouble is, we clutter ourselves. We have clutter. Any of you have rooms that have clutter? Clutter? We qualify, yes. I understand that. We had so much clutter in my wonderful big garage in the basement. I had so much clutter in there, I couldn't even pull my lawnmower in there. And whenever we moved, we threw half of it away. Maybe more than half. All that stuff. And I could have had a whole basement to play in. But I filled it with clutter. Well, God is telling us, get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the accuser. Get rid of the stuff that says you're on your own. You're never going to make it. You failed. You did this. You did that. You know, get rid of it. You know, shut him up. And how do you shut him up? You quote the word. You resist. Speak to the hand. You know. I know. I have to finish. But being understood by the things that are made. Just like the communion cup, you know, it just one little mistake at the right place brought about a disappointment. Can you imagine one of the kids picking it up, you know, looking at it, going, hey, there's nothing in here. You know, this the whole communion service. Why doesn't mine have cup in it, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Mine licked down my arm. What happened? You know, I'm sorry. You know, get another cup. All right. This is a quote from Abraham Lincoln, I thought. I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say there is no God. Abraham Lincoln. You know, there's a man, I did once did a whole thing on his, just a brief thing on his life, and he ran for office so many, I don't know how many times, and lost, and I think he was elected once, and then he wasn't reelected, and he ran for president and won. And there was never a more criticized president in Washington, a more criticized president than Abraham Lincoln. He might be run for his money now. But anyhow, no one criticized him more because he was so out of place with Washington. You know? But he's the only one. You see, what made Abraham Lincoln, what made him great? I think a number of things. But one of the things was that whenever the South was defeated, there was a whole group of people in Washington that wanted to hang Jefferson Davis, wanted to hang the Southern Congress, and you know, basically kill all the traitors. And Abraham Lincoln said, "The war is over. We forgive them and let them go home." You see, if they had killed and hung all those people, the nation would never have been brought back together. But his act of forgiveness was one of the last acts of his life that kept the nation from dividing. And we are the only nation to survive such a war among itself and still survive. So you see, the characteristics of God becoming our characteristics, at times they don't seem like, you know, the pressure may be on to be something different, or the pressure may be to, you know, go the opposite direction, but we must always come back to, well, what is the right thing in God's eyes? No matter what anybody says, what's in my heart? What is God asking me to do? And follow that. Isaiah says, Isaiah 40, who hath measured the waters? Now, this is talking about the greatness of God, the power. This is the, you know, if we want to put a size to God here. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? God takes all of the oceans and all the waters of the earth, and they're just like a drop of water in his hand. Or metered out the heavens with a span. With a span is from your little finger to your thumb. He meters out all of the universe from, you know, billions of miles away to billions of miles away, within a span of his finger, his thumb and his little finger. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. Dust of the earth. And weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. Perfect, perfect, perfect balance. The earth spins. Who hath dedicated... Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? Who taught God? You know, sometimes I try to teach God some things. I say, God, this is how it should be. I can see clearly this is how it should be. And God goes, oh, David, I never thought of that. So every time you think you're telling God what he should do, anyhow, you can't counsel God. Why? Because this is another. To God, he doesn't remember the past and he doesn't see into the future. To God, it is all knowledge. So our future is before God. Our past is before him. He doesn't look at all of the failures. You know how many times you're going to fail in the next 100 years? God doesn't even look at that. You know, we're busy looking backwards and God's saying, I forgave all that. But you know, God also has forgiven all that which is in front of you. I mean, not that we don't have to confess our sin, but the idea is he doesn't allow every sin that we've ever done or will do to influence his blessing on our life right now. See, he is not swayed in his position, his love for you, by anything that you have done. His love for you is governed by who he is. He is God. He is the faithful, unchangeable one. He is the faithful, unchangeable one. He called the nation of Israel through Abraham, and God knew all of the mistakes that all those people would make throughout from back then to the time he returns, and it never changed his mind from saying to Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. You'd have thought he'd have just said, Abraham, you're having no kids. You should see what your grandkids do. I'm not having. Okay, who hath directed the Spirit? With whom took the Lord counsel? Who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. It's the greatness of God. Who gives him instruction? He is God. He knows all things. He knows. He now, in the scriptures, he is giving to us the revelation of himself and the revelation of how we are to be like him and follow him, because he doesn't change. And Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by the great power and stretchest out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them." You see, we're so worried about, you know, in the time of Christ, whenever they people accused Jesus and they said, let this be upon us and upon our children, okay? They were as it were cursing themselves in their heritage, but you can't put a curse on what God has already blessed. God has already blessed you. Anybody tries to say anything negative about you, it's like water on a duck's back. Don't pick it up. Don't drink it. All right. "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." So God rewards us, and he wants us to be close to him. "But God is rich in mercy," Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are we saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So read that. I am that I am. L. Strength and might. Believe in God who believes in you. Amen. Father, we are grateful to you and thank you for how that you have blessed us and the strength, O Lord, of your word and the power of your spirit to speak to our hearts. And Lord, may our mouth and our desires and God, our relationship with you continue to guide us in our service of you and others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.